Ladies and gentlemen, I am so fortunate today to have a little chat with Mr. Barry Raphael, one of the fine artists associated for decades with the artwork of Mel and Dorothy Tanner, and what those of us who know them affectionately call Lumonics. Lumonics is light art, and I will take Mel's good advice and not talk too much about describing it, but I have the great good fortune to talk to Barry, and Barry's going to talk a little bit about Lumonics and a little bit, I'm sure, about the passing of Dorothy Tanner. Barry, welcome. You have been an artist in my heart for decades and decades, and I appreciate you and the work of Lumonics so very much. Barry, Dorothy has just left the planet. Tell me, I'm sure you've heard some wonderful outpourings from many other Lumonics enthusiasts. How's it going for you? How's everything? And just share a few of your thoughts, sir.
Oh, thank you, Rick. And thank you very much for the opportunity to speak about Dorothy and Lumonics and its history. You know, with the outpouring that we've had from friends, from calls and emails and social media, it's really been very gratifying, and it's made the passing a lot easier. We've actually gotten emails from people from all over the world. Yeah, and it's just really something to see the effect that the Tanners had on people. And, you know, Mel passed in 1993. So, you know, we've had Dorothy these past years to kind of continue to lead the way. And in spite of her vision problems, she was able to continue to work. And she had quite a strong spirit. So she really uplifted so many people.
Well, I don't want to take another moment without telling people how they can see and experience the beauty, the wonder, the cosmic galactic beauty of what is Lumonics. Barry, they can go on the web and see both website pictures, and they can probably see video. Tell the listeners where they can go to hear it, so that later when they come back and listen to the whole thing, they'll know how to do it. How can they go and experience just a little taste of what is Lumonics?
Yeah, people are welcome to visit lumonics.net. That's lumonics.net. We also have a dorothytanner.com website. That's devoted exclusively to Dorothy, mostly exclusively. The Lumonics.net includes both Dorothy and Mel, and also Mark. Mark's been a great collaborator with Dorothy over these years. And after Mel passed, you know, Dorothy extended the video work, the kind of pioneering video work, abstract art, that Dorothy and Mel had started in the late 70s, and also began to compose music. So there's some really nice archives with the video collaboration. There's also a Wikipedia page. So, you know, you could spend a lot of time learning more about the Tanners. The website's pretty deep. So there's a lot to see.
Well, I know it's been up for years and years. I have the great honor of being introduced to them that very first year. 1969 was when I first had the Lumonics experience. And It was breathtaking and stunning and really changed my life as an artist and put me in the direction of doing multimedia, which I've pursued ever since. I do want to talk about the should we say, the larger Lumonics collective as well. I know you've been with Lumonics for at least, I think, since the 60s or 70s, right?
Well, actually, I came In 1972, I was introduced to the Tanners in the fall of 1971 when a friend of mine who was teaching classes at Dade Community College, he was introduced to Lumonics by some of his colleagues at the college. And he was also very taken with the experience and the Tanners, and he wanted them to come to Chicago. And that's where I was living at the time. And when he brought them up and I met them, and I was just so enthralled with them. And we were going to try to find a place in Chicago, and we really couldn't find it, quite the right spot. So they asked me if I would be interested in moving to Florida, and at least in the meantime, while a friend of ours was going to still look for a spot. So I just kind of just made the leap. It was really quite a thing. In the meantime, I had before I actually moved, I went down to see the. I was teaching in junior high school, language arts, and I went down to see the theater over Christmas vacation. And as soon as I walked into that space, like what you and many people experience, Rick, it just transformed me. To be around such creativity and magic was just so astounding to me. And I wanted it to be the kind of the ultimate field trip for students where they could really get a blast and get their creativity stimulated. And that was sort of what I signed up for, is to kind of get the field trip program. And over the years, we did have a lot of schools and camps that did attend Lumonics. It wasn't quite how I anticipated it in Chicago, but nonetheless, it's been quite a journey.
Wow, that's for sure. So you go back to the very beginning years as well. And we
Yes,
know.
and then oh, I wanted to just mention to
Please.
answer your question, Mark and Barbara. I showed up. I came in March of 72, and Mark and Barbara came in September. And I don't know if you know about this story, but when Mel and Dorothy started working with plexiglass and creating the first cubes and columns circa 1966, they used to get their plastics from a company in Miami, and sometimes they would have material cut to size. So they got to meet this fellow named Pete Adams, and they really hit it off. And one day Pete said to Dorothy and Mel, "You know, it's like I really need something to do. I just can't stand being home every night with my wife. I need to get out once in a while. And do you mind if I come over and help you in the studio?" So he was a great help, and he helped build a lot of the work that eventually went into the theater. And when Mark came around, Mark was really more of a rough carpenter doing working on houses in the Coral Gables area. And when he met Mel, he said, "You know, I'd really also like to volunteer." So kind of Pete took Mark under his wing. And very soon Pete said to Mel, "You know, this guy's ready." And Mark just kind of took over. And it's been an amazing collaboration. I mean, the depth of the work just continued to really expand.
Well, you know, so much of what is Lumonics, and I'm gonna, those of us who live in the world of words to some extent, this immersive experience that is both a projected element and a living, full 3D immersive environment, it is so transcendent an experience because so many people think of art as pictorial or narrative, and to experience mm-hmm. a non-narrative art form is really I won't say force, but I'll say encourages people to think in non-narrative forms, and is thus therefore quite liberating.
It is, and I remember those evenings at Lumonix where you would come in to this warehouse and talk about shock of the new, coming in and seeing you're surrounded with these amazing light sculptures, each one more amazing than the next. And then there was the performance. So Mel and Dorothy had the projection booth on the mezzanine, and they would project slides that they made, 2x2-inch hand-painted slides that they would blow up on a wall, maybe 15 by 20 feet, and create live paintings over it, and then incorporating the laser. So the performance, and then the light sculptures, they had a control panel that by today's standards would be kind of old school.
Sure.
But it actually worked, and they could control the pieces and play with them and have it go to the music. So the experience itself was with music was so overwhelming that at the end of the evening, people really had a little trouble getting up.
Well,
I was going to say one of the best compliments I ever had was somebody came in from out of town. They were living in New Mexico. And at the end of the evening, he said to me, "Is this legal?"
Sure, absolutely.
And
it really started, as you pointed out, even before you came into the Lumonix studio performance mm-hmm. space, you're in this nondescript warehouse section of Miami. One building just the same as the other at the end of a long row of buildings, totally nondescript, next to the railway. You saw the little tiny plexiglass sign cut out that said Lumonix. It almost whispered it, tremendous kind of anti-advertising, but it was remarkable. And you walked into, I'm just describing for people who haven't had an experience like that. You walked in to this antechamber with the light sculptures. Some were dripping water, some with oil, mm-hmm. pulsing to the music. And even the restroom was an experience in itself.
I haven't thought about that in a long time. The Mylar bathroom.
Sure. You would walk into the restroom to use the facility. And because Barry mentioned Mylar, there's mirror Mylar floor to ceiling all around you. And because it was wisely not tacked down closely, every breath, every movement made the Mylar shift and change and move. So your reflection
right.
was constantly shifting. It again, just the bathroom was a trip all by itself. And then you walked into the main performance chamber. And as Barry described, imagine, if you will, sculptures all around the room, pulsing to the music, the lower parts of the typically pulsing to the low sounds, the mids to the mid sounds, the tops to the high sounds, and then all around the room, and there were hanging sculptures as well that would be shifting. It was amazing. And then, as you said, the performance as well. Well, it changed my life as an artist entirely. And I went from studying under Mel briefly to working with several different traveling light shows and laser shows. Became a laser artist with laser images, and then also of
the planetarium.
Yeah. I worked both at the Broward Planetarium and the Miami Space Transit Planetarium.
Yeah.
And then I went with Laserium. They had a Carib Laserium. We had a 60-foot screen, 60-foot wide, 40-foot tall. And that was quite an experience as well, very transcendent. And then I went on and did some, I wrote some animation. And hello, Barry, you still there?
I am.
Okay, good. There was just an interference for a second. But anyway, it set me on my course from being an illustrator and sculptor to a performance light artist. It was just absolutely life-changing. So I feel I owe a lot to my brothers and sisters at Lumonix. Let me ask you this. You know, Dorothy's work was, I think you could accurately characterize it as rounder, curvier, more organic than Mel's, which was a little more linear, a little more spherical. Did you see this evolution? And especially Dorothy's work must have changed a lot after Mel passed, where, you know, she really probably was the design principal then of the sculptures that were working.
Yes, that's a very good point. So when Mel was alive, Mel would, at the beginning, they really worked collaboratively on a lot of the pieces. And as time went on, because there was a period of time that Dorothy didn't do much work, and she was just focusing on other aspects, but working collaboratively with Mel. But when she began to do her artwork again, it was more free form, whereas Mel's pieces were, as you point out, a lot of his wall pieces were these very precise works. Dorothy didn't mind if a little of the cement showed, and maybe Mark would say, you know, how are we ever going to, you know, clean this, you know, and Dorothy said, don't worry about it. She just had something in mind to do. And at the time, you know, this was pre-LEDs. So
sure.
in Mel's lifetime, we worked with fluorescent and incandescent. Fortunately for Mel, the when the plant light bulbs came out for indoor growing of plants, they had much more of a red and pinkish quality to them. It was a different part of the spectrum.
Uh-huh.
And that had an enormous improvement in the way the wall pieces looked. That was a wonderful thing. Mel would have loved the LEDs. And what happened is, after Mel died, Dorothy continued to work, but when we discovered the LEDs, her pieces were mostly lighted with spotlights prior to that.
Uh-huh.
And when the LEDs came out, it also made it possible for her to have LED bases
uh-huh.
on the bottom of the sculpture
uh-huh.
so that the light would reflect up. And that was a wonderful effect. And then eventually, Dorothy started doing wall pieces like
mm-hmm.
like Mel had done,
mm-hmm.
but her own in her own style, and she turned out some wonderful work. Just wonderful.
Yeah, I can't encourage you listeners enough to go browse slowly through what these experiences were like online, and. That leads me to another thought. I'm sure that things really are still under discussion and evolving by the minute, probably. Is there a plan to continue the theater and to continue the school?
Yes. So what we've really been thinking about is something that Dorothy said when, you know, in 2018, Dorothy had an exhibit at the McNichols Civic Center building, which is one of the oldest buildings in downtown Denver. It actually was the original Carnegie Library in Denver. And over the years, it got converted, and it is now an art building. And Dorothy was given over the first floor, which is what would be thought of as the community center of Denver. And she totally converted it to this installation called the Lumonix Mind Spa, Stretching the Body, Mind, and Spirit. It was a really successful installation. And besides people coming in to experience the art and to kind of do meditation, contemplation, we also held a variety of events, workshops, musical performances, and it was just a great success. And Dorothy received the Denver Mayor's Award at the age of 95 for innovation in the arts. And the city put together an interview with Dorothy, which is available on our website. And in the interview, Dorothy said that there should be a place in Denver where people can experience this. Now, we have a space in Denver, but it's a smaller space. It's just a fraction of all the artwork, many of the pieces which we still have in storage. So Dorothy was really talking about another location, and I would really like to follow through with that. And Barbara and Mark are also in favor of the idea of getting another space in Denver that would house all the work. And it would be a museum. It would be an art school where we teach people how to create this art. It could be a healing center, event center. That's what I think would be the most ideal project, Rick. And that would be a way of really getting the work out there in a more of a permanent space that could actually just continue to be after our lives are over.
Sure.
Something for the people. Yeah. So I think that would be a project that I would really like to devote my energies to. I think it would be, people could really benefit from it. You know, with the COVID, things are so up in
sure.
the air
it's,
with people
yeah,
going out, but it does. But I mean, that's eventually the conditions are going to improve eventually.
Yep.
And it would take some time to put this together as well. But that is what I feel our mission should be.
Well, you know, Barry, I have to tell you, you know, even above and beyond the incredible aesthetic power of Lumonix, I have such respect for you because you have tried and succeeded to help inform people about something that is so beyond words. As a wordsmith, as well as artist myself, I know how hard that can be. And I think you have done just a tremendous job getting the word out about Lumonix and helping people understand, because, you know, a lot of people, to have a non-linear, non-narrative, non-verbal experience is novel.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
I think you've just done a tremendous job. I see your work on social media all the time, and you help get the word out about this incredible sensory experience that is Lumonix. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you, Rick. That makes me feel really good. You know, it's interesting that I've been starting to, on our Lumonix Light and Sound group page on Facebook that people are welcome to visit, I've been including some of our archives and including the years that, some of which I hadn't quite thought about myself. But, you know, Dorothy was in her early 40s. When she began doing the light art. And that, you know, for a lot of people, that's very inspiring, because some people would think, Jesus, you know, I'm 30. It's too late for me to do anything.
Sure.
And so Dorothy is really a great example of somebody that's just didn't let age stop her. Wow. I mean, she worked until pretty much until the time that she passed at 97.
Amazing. Now, also, I remember Mel's sister Jocelyn.
Yes.
She was she a participating artist, or she was mostly involved with helping keep the organization and the studio functioning?
Yes, that was that second part of what you said was more of Jocelyn's role, and she was just a big booster of the art. And I learned a lot from her when I came because, she was the person who was leading the way as far as getting the word out. And yeah, unfortunately, Jocelyn died in around 1986 when we moved back from back to Florida in Fort Lauderdale instead of Miami, and she kind of had a heart attack in the shower.
Oh, that's too
And
bad. I remember her fondly.
yeah, I really missed our collaboration because she was, I really loved working with her, and she was always so devoted to Mel's work. Just for historical purposes, Dorothy met Mel at the Brooklyn Museum School of Art. They were both students at the time. Mel had returned from World War II, and he was one of the first classes of students to be under the GI Bill. And on a date, one of the students said, "I'd like you to visit one of my friends." He had a basement studio, and Dorothy went to see Mel's studio, and Dorothy told me she was just so amazed at the work that Mel was doing back then. I mean, it was not, his paintings were not the work of a student. They were just so, his abstract paintings were just so developed, and they hit it off. And a couple years later, they married and moved to Syracuse, and they started an art school there. And Dorothy was working with all kinds of material. They had a house, and in the back of the house was a kind of a coach house where Dorothy had welding equipment, and she worked with metal. And her favorite, one of her favorite things was wood carving. And she used to do, that's one of the things that she taught. So she used to do carvings and teach people how to carve a lot of people, a lot of heads. She has a beautiful one of that she did of Mel. And also one of Jocelyn that she did in ceramic. So
Yeah.
she was quite a talent, that's for sure.
Well, she's certainly made her mark. It was so nice to hear the recognition of the Mayor's Award, the setting up of the space at the McNichol Center. Again, long overdue for the recognition. But given given some of the backward-looking components of this culture, not a huge surprise, but
Oh.
I think even with all that retro thinking and backward looking, it almost leaves in a space for artists who are innovative, who are artists who see a vision beyond what was and create a whole new world. And I think Lumonics has certainly accomplished that. And Barry, I want you to know that all of us here at PNN wish Lumonics, every one of you, every success and the continued shining of that wonderful Lumonics light. Barry, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rick. And I just wanted to give a shout out to the Museum of Outdoor Arts in the Denver area, and they were just so supportive of Dorothy and Mal's work, and they had a wonderful retrospective there, and that was really they've been really great champions and have helped us so much in getting the word out to the community. Thank you so much, Rick. I really appreciate you taking the time to call me and to arrange this time to speak about a project that is very close to my heart and yours.
Well, please give every one of those wonderful Lumonics artists all my love and all my support, okay?
I will, Rick, and we'll continue to be in touch.
Okay, bye-bye.